It's a great pleasure to have my next guest on via Zoom in regional New South Wales, Tim Friedman from the Whitlams. What an absolute pleasure. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Gavin.
Now, of course, the Whitlams were such a huge part of, well, of my youth, that's for sure. Some just absolutely incredible classic songs. The purpose of my chat with you today is a fantastic new release, which for me is something a little bit different from what you've done before. It is part of a forthcoming album called The Black Stump Sessions. You've recorded a version of 50 Again. I'm just going to play a little snippet of that for listeners, and then we'll have a chat to you about that. Very smooth, Mr. Friedman, can I say? Very, very smooth. Tell us about the Black Stump Sessions. How did you arrive at this point of, I guess, delving into much, much more of a country sound?
Well, to put my situation in context, I'm nearly finished the first Whitlams album in 15 years, and that comes out in January. But while I was doing that, I was releasing some singles, and I put a song out called Man About a Dog, which was about a fellow driving through the hills just as the drought breaks. And so I did a regional tour. So I had my elbow on the breeze. I was told the Whitlams were getting played a bit on country radio. So I was listening to country radio. I was playing in Mudgee and Gunnedah and Dubbo and places like that. And I was enjoying the hospitality of the regional audiences. And so suddenly in a blinding flash, I thought, why the hell don't I actually... I've gone so close to country music, playing in the country, playing to country audiences, getting on country radio. I must actually take that extra step and get some country musicians into the studio. So I rang my friend Matt Fell, who's been a producer of the year at Tamworth for many years, and said, hey, I've got an idea. And he made some time available. And I said, just hire your dream band, because he knows who's best, because he works in the country genre all the time. And so he booked this great band, and we experimented in the studio, and you just played the first fruits of that just then, Gavin.
Absolutely beautiful. And so what else can we expect from those Black Stump Sessions? Are you reworking songs throughout your career? Are they from the new album? What can we expect once the album full comes out?
Well, we're just going to dribble it out next year. My main focus is on the Whitlams classic album in January, but by the end of the year we will have finished this. We've got all the band tracks down, and we've got 12 or 13 tracks. We're at Sony Studios for about nearly a week, and I'll tell you what it is. We redid No Aphrodisiac, and which sounds like a banjo and a violin, and it sounds you can almost hear the crackle of the fire because it's like a campfire version of No Afro.
Can't wait.
Yeah, really well, because we've got Rod McCormack on the banjo, and he's sort of a real, you know, he knows how to make things sound Appalachian.
Yes.
And we did Blow Up the Pokies in a different time signature, right. And we did a few covers. I did a song by about the 1969 Rugby League Grand Final, right, called The Day John Sattler Broke His Jaw.
Johnny Sattler.
A song about John Sattler, which is written by a friend of mine, Perry Keyes, who is known as the Springsteen of Redfern, and Matt, and we even wrote a few new songs as well. So it's a mixture of catalogue covers and new songs. Goes from campfire to country rock. This 50 Again was more sort of Donovan meets Bill Withers, sort of little country funky groove.
There's a beautiful, beautiful Bill Withers vibe there, that's for sure.
Yeah, bubbles along, and that's why I sort of was impelled to sort of sing it in such a sort of falsetto, relaxed, gentle way, because what was coming through my headphones as the boys settled into the groove was just so relaxing. So I'm really looking forward to doing it. It sort of comes together quickly because it's a bit more genre. You don't have to, you're not reinventing the wheel when you put the instrumentation down. The boys just, they work very quickly, and they really need two takes. And so it's sort of refreshing to do something that that composes itself so quickly.
And almost a supergroup of country musicians, as you said, some producer Matt there, but some incredible musicians. Was that a bit of a luxury to speak? You said you had about a week there in Sony Studios. I mean, given the times that we're all enduring and have for the last 20 months or so, was that just an incredible escape, an incredible luxury for you to, A, be with that calibre of musician, but also to spend that time together in the studio?
Yeah, it was a little window when everything felt free and everything was moving up, and you really learn to appreciate those months these days with things going in and out of lockdown. We didn't realise how special it was at the time. I think most people had been making records the last 12 months where they just send files through the ether and then someone works on the track and then sends it back via, you know, the broadband. And everyone's been working that way. And so, I don't know, the music's not really breathing that much. We did it the old-fashioned way. And everyone had their own little booth in the studio, and we'd go into the control room, and Matt and I would play them the iPhone demo, you know, which was just, you know, banjo and a voice or a piano and a voice. And we'd discuss where it was going to go, and we'd go back in the studio. So everything breathed because the grooves were just composing themselves before, you know, in real time. But also I realized that they hadn't, a lot of these guys hadn't recorded with each other like that for a long time. And so they were almost, when someone went in to do a solo or wanted an overdub, he had an audience. He had four guys in the control room watching him do what he was doing. And I didn't realize till later that, you know, that would really make, it adds that little bit of adrenaline that gives you a bit of a spark when you know your peers are watching.
It reminds you, the story you told there earlier about you were driving through the countryside, elbow on the window wound down and being inspired by that. And I had Andrew Farris, of course, from INXS on the show a couple of months ago now, but he recently released, well, effectively a country and western album, something relatively new for him. And he spoke about, really passionately, about that album, or that direction that he decided to take on his new album, was inspired by, I think he took his family on a long horse ride through some incredible, almost Grand Canyon-esque countryside in the south of America. And it was being in that environment and that landscape that really inspired him to write and record that album. In terms of your inspiration, when you're recording songs, and whether it's across your back catalogue right up to these new songs, where does some of that inspiration come from? Is it the sense that you are inspired when you're in different locations and different environments? Does that spark something in you to create new music?
Well, I made the decision to experiment with the country palette because I was just feeling really comfortable in the country. When 150 people from Gunnedah turn up and to the foyer on a Saturday night, you know, and it feels like a real community, and it's people are checking each other out and having a gossip, and it's a real event, a social event. And I really felt the social worth of musicians touring around and creating these events, especially as often in these places like I remember going down to Launceston, and I was the first musician who'd played, come over from the mainland in 12 months. So, you know, we had a bit of trouble tuning the piano, but and dusting it off. But I was just inspired to get out of the cities because I've been a bit lazy the last 10 years, and I've only been doing the sort of what we call the victory lap. You know, when you've won an award 20 years ago, you're just allowed to play in the capital cities once a year for the next 20 years. So I've just been doing the victory lap for 10 years. And I'd made a conscious decision before COVID hit to actually start working a lot more because my daughter's 16 and I can start leaving, going away for extended periods and not feeling guilty. And so it's all matched up. I want to get out of the cities. I want to play in the country areas. I love the attitude of the country audiences. And so I'm just looking forward to spending more time playing to them.
You talk there about the importance, or you realised again perhaps the importance and the social worth of a band and of music. I mean, how much are people yearning to get out and see live music again? I mean, it just feels like so claustrophobic, the scene that we've been in now for so long. When can we expect to see you out on the tours? Have been rescheduled and mixed around a couple of times now, as just about every tour has. When can we expect to see you in our part of the world here in North Queensland?
Well, the last show I did was Cairns, the tank at the Tanks Art
beautiful,
Centre.
The beautiful
And
tank.
I was lucky I had it. I think it was June 25. I was lucky I had that booked because I was out of Sydney when the lockdown happened. So I've managed to stay out of Sydney since then in the hope that I can get back into Queensland and maybe do some shows. We're booked at the Caloundra Festival at the start of October. But I had a Black Stump Sessions tour booked for first week of November, and we're just moving it now. We're going to play Mareeba.
Great.
There's a pub there that we were going to start the tour in and then do the, you know, drive down to Townsville and Mackay and Rockhampton. I'm rescheduling it for February. I've been a bit worried that a lot of people have got out of the habit of going to see live music. But if we can get our hooks back into them when they come along, they are suddenly reminded of how much better it sounds coming through those big black boxes than it does coming through the computer. And the social aspect and just the sound quality and the immediacy of it all. I think it's going to be a big year for live music next year because the artists are just raring to go, and hopefully the audience has refined the habit of getting out there and mixing with their compatriots.
I think they're absolutely hanging out for it, and we all can't wait. Turn now to the arts and what's happened during COVID. There was a lot of criticism about the lack of support for artists of all kinds from the federal government. You sort of saw most industries being supported in one way or another, and it seemed that the creative arts and the performing arts were left out in many, many regards. Your thoughts, Tim, on how hard has it been for you and for many artists, and what would you like to see a government do? I mean, you look at New South Wales again now, who knows when that will come out of lockdown. What would you like to see governments do, and what has it been like over the past 20 months not being able to perform?
Well, there's been a few programs that have just happened in the last month. For example, I had a big two-month Whitlam's tour be postponed for the second time, and the New South Wales government brought out a program where they would, for people that had been cancelled, they'd get 15% of the gross just to cover the costs that they'd incurred putting it up. And I thought, oh, that's good. I'm in the process now of trying to get some of the costs back. But it made me realise how little of that had happened in the first 18 months.
That's right.
Because musicians and bands and crew, we're like restaurants, you know, except you can't see the closed doors. We're hidden away, atrophying on the vine. And I just don't think the federal government really understood the arts. I mean, there's no arts portfolio. It's sort of hidden under regional transport, I think. And there was a lot of pain. They gave a lot of money to a place, a joint called Support Act. But that was really crisis funding for people that are really on the skids. A lot of people between the skids and between doing well that are going to have trouble returning to the industry. So it's a real worry. And this latest, I mean, when you've paid for the advertising for a tour twice, not just once,
right,
and then you're going to have to do it a third time in January.
Yeah.
Even when we get out there again, we're just going to be regaining our costs from the last year. It's not going to be for a year or two before we can get our head above the water again. And, you know, I was just lucky that I just put the piano in the back of the car and toured solo and managed to get about 60 gigs away.
Yeah, you were
not
lucky.
Everyone.
Yeah, you were lucky.
Not
the lucky
everyone plays solo. Not everyone can play solo. And so I got a bit of a war chest together just for the fallow times. But not everyone's been able to do that, I'm afraid, Gavin.
Now, Tim, what has music meant to you during this pandemic?
Well, I've been lucky. I decided to get creative again just before the lockdown happened. So I've had these two projects to work away at. So I've been on my bike on the beach listening to Kris Kristofferson and Willie Nelson and just making plans for the next 2 years. I've been lucky that I already had plans afoot, I think, because, you know, if you sit down and try and write a song and amuse yourself, then time moves more quickly. And one of the problems for a lot of people in these times, I think, is the days are moving a little bit slowly. The clock ticks a little slowly because of the lack of variation in their lives. But if you do live in the life of the mind, then you can avoid that. And I recommend it. I mean, sometimes I'll get lazy like everyone and I might watch 4 hours of television
yes.
for 2 days in a row. And I just it just brings me down. It's just like eating fairy floss, isn't it? It doesn't quite provide the right sucker.
A very, very temporary fix. Well, we can't wait to see you here, hopefully, fingers crossed, in February. We can't wait to hear both the new Whitlams album and the rest of the Black Stump sessions. Thank you so much for your time today. Absolute pleasure. Thanks for being on the King Review, Tim Friedman.
Thanks, Gavin.